I was in Florida recently and feeling a little anxious. I had been invited on the second of three space launches as a journalist, and on the back of my press pass, there was a code to book an Uber to get from my hotel to the launch site. I booked the ride just minutes away, so I went downstairs at once, and I got to the curb and realized I'd left my press pass back in the room. The car was just minutes away. So I ran back in, but the elevator was too slow, so I ran up the stairs, got my press pass, and ran back down to catch my ride to the launch pad. But as soon as I got back to the curb, I realized I'd forgotten something else. My shoes. I felt a wave of panic. I was going to miss my trip into space. Then I woke up, of course, laughing. Hey there, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, where we look at life through a spiritual lens. I'm David Brown. I was sharing this silly dream with my son, when all of a sudden, my wife in the other room shouted out, "Wait, what? You're going on a space trip?" She was really concerned, and when I explained it was just a dream, she expressed relief. There was never anything to feel fearful about, but, you know, the absurdity of the situation got me to thinking about this whole issue of fear and anxiety more broadly, and how Christian Science teaches us that fear is never built on a solid foundation, just a series of falsehoods. And you know, maybe it's time I just wake up on a bigger level. Our guest today is Elizabeth Brenton. She's a student of Christian Science from Ocala, Florida, who had a complete healing of anxiety, and she wrote about it recently in the Christian Science Journal. Elizabeth, welcome to Sentinel Watch.
Thank you, David. It's great to be here.
You didn't happen to see me down at the launch pad or anything, did you? I know you being in Florida and all.
Well, you know, I waved at you, you know, from takeoff.
Yeah, of course you did. But there is a serious level there too. As silly as that dream was, and my wife's reaction to it, of course, I noticed that when I told her it was just a dream, there was this pause while she kind of processed it. And I thought, isn't that the way that we can get stuck in these patterns of deep fear about things that, you know, I think a lot of people may have serious fears about? Sometimes it's a diagnosis that they get from a doctor, or they see something on the news and it makes them fearful of what's happening in the world. And one of the things that I really like to lean into in Christian Science is the idea that, what is it that Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, said in one of her poems? False fears are foes. Truth tatters those when understood. And it's that idea of seeing what the truth is that really does provide relief, and it makes it pretty easy to laugh at some of these situations, even though, in human experience, it can often seem very fearful indeed.
Well, that's right. It's really about waking up, isn't it? I have a wonderful dog. Her name is Minnie Pearl. She's a miniature dachshund, and she's my best friend. Mm. She's so much fun. And when you train a puppy, one of the great things that you do is you teach them a very simple command so that they don't eat, you know, silly things that aren't good for them. Like, right. Let's say in her case, like, you know, a frog or something, is simply the command, leave it. And it's so great. And I've translated that into Christian Science, because when you train your dog, it's just instant. She doesn't question. She doesn't argue. She mm-hmm. just drops it. She leaves it. And then she wags her tail and moves along, and we just have a wonderful day. And it's such a great principle about metaphysics and Christian Science, is that when we know that we reflect God, infinite mind, and that is the source of our consciousness and our thought, and therefore our present reality and our experience, we can, when we get a suggestion, let's say, like you mentioned, of a physical condition or an anxiety, a fear, a worry, because of, you know, a what if about the future, we can say that to ourselves, believe it, you know, and we can have that choice and just claim that dominion that is our birthright. And there's so much power in the Bible stories and in Science and Health, which gives us so many practical explanations. But I just love that in that simple, simple way, just leave it, drop it. And that just can give us a signal to uplift our thought and therefore find our freedom quickly and instantly.
I want to just underscore something for first-time listeners or folks who may be new to Christian Science. Elizabeth mentioned Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. That's the Christian Science textbook. It was written by Mary Baker Eddy, who I mentioned earlier is the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. And it is a wonderful book because it illuminates the teachings of the Bible. And it offers so many practical insights on the lessons of the Bible. And at least in my experience, I do turn to it on a daily basis. Elizabeth, you said that you had an experience, a firsthand story that you could share. Where do you want to begin?
Let me start with the grounding as a Christian Scientist of a passage that really gave me the confidence, you know, to have this complete healing of anxiety that was referenced in my testimony. It was published in the June 2025 journal, which is part of the Christian Science publications, in the testimony section. And so let me start there. It's this wonderful passage. It's on page 302 of Science and Health. I'm going to read a part of it. The science of being reveals man as perfect, even as the Father is perfect, because the soul or mind of the spiritual man is God, the divine principle of all being. And because this real man is governed by soul instead of sense, by the law of spirit, not by the so-called laws of matter. And wow, that's this incredible basis with which we can reason spiritually, that our identity is related directly to God, our beautiful, infinite Father, Mother, God, our spiritual source, which we're never separated from. And so that gives us the confidence to rise above and reverse whatever claim, doesn't matter what it is, if it's fear, anxiety, you know, disease of whatever name or definition, lack, financial challenges, career challenges, whatever the claim may be, we can have the full confidence because God is all. And that's the source of our identity. And so, you know, my story was really one where my mom passed on early when I was a teenager. You know, it was shocking at the time, but you know, I just kind of coped, you know, and went on with my life. And so what was interesting in my story is that the claim of anxiety came later as an adult. I had kind of powered my way through my 20s. And so then later as an adult, all of a sudden, this trauma of losing a parent as a young age caught up with me, as it were. And I just began to doubt and worry about the future. You know, what if this, what if that? And anyone who's experienced that type of fear, it can be really debilitating. And I was in the middle of a very successful career. And despite fancy titles and so forth, I felt almost like I was an imposter, like I didn't belong. And I was always worried, well, when's the other shoe going to drop? And that's no way to live when you're that, you know, worried and concerned. And so as a Christian Scientist, I knew where to turn. I knew that that claim of what if was an imposition. And so the quote that I just read was the beginning of my waking up. We started our conversation today, David, with a dream. And I realized that dream of anxiety or what if that was fear-based and negative was a dream. Mrs. Eddy references in Science and Health the mortal dream. And so I realized I could wake up, or as I would say to my puppy, leave it. Wake up. And so that false dream in reality had the same amount of reality as your make-believe, you know, space trip.
Right.
You know, and so I realized with great joy that I could wake up. And so I want to reference something else that was what we stand upon. Now, in the first passage I referenced, it references the science of being. Well, there's a very, very wonderful definition that Mrs. Eddy gives to us in Science and Health on page 468 called the scientific statement of being. And this is law. And it's a question and answer. It starts, what is the scientific statement of being? And then it goes on the answer, there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. And I would insert here, why? Why? Because, this is my insert, and I proceed with the quote, all is infinite mind. All is infinite mind, and its infinite manifestation for God is all in all. And then it goes on later in the definition to say, man, which includes all of us, is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. There you go. There's our divine authority. And the thing that I really noticed when I was studying this, that was like a great aha moment, is that, wow, it's the scientific statement of being, which means it's real, it's now, and it's permanent forever. It's not the scientific statement of becoming. We're not missing something. We don't have to figure out how to get whole or get better or get something or overcome something or fix something. It's the scientific statement of being, our intact identity with God. And I was like, wow, bang. And that helped me wake up from the dream. And I'm very grateful to report a complete and total healing of that claim. And so I am grateful for all the ways that then that showed up in my life, just a freedom, a peace of mind, ability to sleep well, and carry on with a career that I loved, and now actually retirement into a sort of a second phase of life with my horses and show jumping, which I love.
That's wonderful.
And, you know, that's another proof of complete dominion, because I compete as an athlete now, as a master's athlete, in a high-pressure sport. And I show up in competition with complete freedom and joy. No anxiety. It's just joy. And so that's been another way that I've been able to prove that. I proved it before in public speaking, in very high-pressure, sort of high-stakes situations. In my C-suite corporate career, I had to report quarterly earnings and have media calls and calls with analysts and investors. Yeah. Was able to do that with complete freedom and dominion, answer very tough questions, et cetera. And that was a real practical proof of that freedom. And then now I have that freedom in the sport.
That is wonderful. What a wonderful healing that you experienced.
Oh, thank you. I'm super grateful. And the thing is, David, that's so cool is that this truth about God and our relation to God is available to all of us anytime, anywhere. It doesn't matter what the claim is that we all have that ability to experience complete healing and freedom in our life.
I'm so glad that you said that, because there may be someone listening who sort of feels like, wow, wouldn't it be great if I could just, you know, remember something that I had read in Science and Health, or maybe I haven't ever been exposed to Science and Health or some of these truths that Christian Science brings out, and, you know, may not feel like it's accessible to them.
I'm glad you brought that up, because the reality is that God is universal. And one of the things that I love about Christian Science is that it is so accessible for everyone. And I have seen so many beautiful and instant healings with people who've never been exposed to Christian Science. Anybody, anytime can hear an inspiration and find freedom in their life. That is something that's so beautiful, is that God is. And that presence, that peacefulness, the sweetness of care and kindness is accessible to anyone at any time.
We were talking about how you had a kind of breakthrough moment there, Elizabeth, and from it, you felt that you could reason spiritually, you know, that all is infinite mind, as you were quoting the scientific statement of being, all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. And you had a better sense of what you were, not as a material being, but as a spiritual being. And I'm wondering if you can say more about what that means. How did you understand that?
Yes, well, it's really simple. In that moment, I felt so clear And I just felt so close to God, to love, just a warmth and just love, pure love. And I realized that I was loved. And it just washed away all of these sort of niggly, you know, negative thoughts. And just all of a sudden, it was like clear. It was like if you have a window and you have dirt and spots on it, you know, you can get window cleaner like Windex and you can clean your window. And it was like the clear window was always there, but I had sort of some mud and splatters on there. And that pure sense that I got was just all of a sudden the analogy of just boom, the window was clean. And so therefore I could see myself clearly. And I think, you know, sometimes it's easy to over-intellectualize, our relation to God or spirituality. And what I have to say, at least on my journey has been one of becoming more and more childlike. And Christ Jesus talked about that, about the little child, the young child, and that receptivity, that native sense of innocence. And what that says to me is that it's easy. It's natural. And so we as adults, as grownups, we try to make everything complicated. And sometimes you're like, oh, well, I've got to study the right passage or, you know, right, whatever. Right. And actually, in my experience, it's been unlearning. And I want to underscore this point. Unlearning about materiality, unlearning about shoulds, and actually embracing our native, original, natural, true, beautiful, pure, wonderful self.
I think that's a really important point because it often seems like children are unusually receptive to these truths. They're not overthinking it. They're not thinking that there's something that they need to search and find and hold to for dear life so that they can experience their healing.
Right.
And that's right. Why I think it's kind of important to talk about this idea of spiritual reasoning in a sense, because while it can lead to breakthroughs, it's not a matter of thinking your way out of a problem. That might bring you some temporary relief, perhaps, but it's not parapsychology or anything like that that's going on where you're trying to convince yourself of something.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Another thing that I love to kind of bring that point home, and this is something that Christian Science has taught me, and that is, Mrs. A describes the difference between material sense and spiritual sense. You know, it's the difference between, are you reasoning, you know, based on sort of a material or medical view of a problem, or are you allowing that childlike, innocent, spiritual sense? And I have found that's really important. Because again, you can know the difference. And I'm going to reference mathematics for a minute. One of the things we know about math is that, for example, in basic arithmetic, if you take 1 + 0, it's still 1. One of the things I'm really grateful, and it's foundational in the study of Christian Science that I've learned, is that I'm 100% spiritual, not a mixture, not some bit, but 100% spiritual. And that goes back to the scientific statement of being that we were discussing, and also the principle of mathematics, the purity of origin. So just like the number 1 is untouched by 0, the same thing, no matter what a claim of sickness or whatever material claim wants to assert itself in your life, it doesn't change the 100% reality of spiritual identity. And so these claims about ourselves, a sickness, a limitation, you know, whatever it is, anxiety, it's that big old 0. It does not change or touch in any way the value of the 1. And our relation to God and our ability to expect perfect and complete healing is just as scientific as math.
When you were describing God as infinite, I had just that little flash of wow, what that means and what my place is in that. And I'm curious,
yes,
if someone were to say, well, what is my place in that infinity?
Well, it's a great question. And for everyone listening, there's another shout out I'd like to give to another Christian Science Journal article by David Greer. And it's called Practical Infinity, because this is a mathematical principle that some people may not recognize, which is the fact that there is distinction and infinity, which goes to your question. So for example, you have all the numbers that go on into infinity, but then you have even numbers and odd numbers. And mathematics, in science, there's an infinite number of even numbers, and there's an infinite number of odd numbers. Now, each number is distinct, and the odd numbers are not the even numbers, are not the same. So this gets to the infinite awesomeness of each of us. So I'm not you, and you're not me, mm-hmm, but an infinite God gives me the love of horses. And it's a wonderful sport and a wonderful activity. And so I express through my sport all these wonderful qualities in my own way. Whereas someone else, like my husband's a marathon runner. He's totally different than me, but he expresses his individuality in a wonderful way through his marathon running, which is completely mm-hmm different than my show jumping. Mm-hmm. So this notion of distinctness within infinitude is so powerful, and to me gives so much comfort that we don't have to compare, because oftentimes what creates fear or anxiety is comparison. You know, I don't look the same as this person, or I don't have the same career, or I don't have this, or I didn't have the same start in life. Well, so we got to stop that and just cozy up to this beautiful infinitude of God. And that opens the way to see and behold our own unique self. And that to me is so inspiring and really fun. It's a fun journey.
It's understanding individuality, our individuality, not from a standpoint of limitation, but from a standpoint of infinity.
Correct.
Really.
That's exactly right. And that enables us to, whatever age we are, it means that we're never too old, we're never too young. We can embrace that infinite opportunity of capability right here and now. And that infinite capability includes health, it includes abundance and supply, all the practicality of what we need, and it is going to manifest itself in different ways, again, because we're distinct. And so what is a great thing for my husband, aka a really fantastic marathon finish, not interested for me. I don't want to do that. But I express the bounty of health and abundance of joy and freedom in my riding, in my sport. And that's just, you know, a practical example, my own household, where, you know, he demonstrates health and abundance in his way, and I demonstrate health and abundance in my way, and they're different. But we have the same God, and we have the same opportunity to have freedom of health, of capability, of victory. And we've talked about one of the synonyms for God is mind. That connection to mind yields inspiration and ideas. And as I look at my career, each idea along the way has been fit for purpose for that time and stage in my experience. And I'm so grateful for that. So for example, you know, where to go to college, you know, what career path to take, when to change careers or change jobs. All of those things have been the answers to prayer and have been inspiration and right fit at that right time. And that goes back to my own healing that we were discussing earlier. You don't have to fear the future. And that's really powerful, whether you're a young person trying to, you know, face the daunting decision of, well, what am I going to do for my career? Or if you're someone else who's like, well, what am I going to do when I retire from this job? Or again.
Right.
We each individually can find the right piece of our path, of our life.
I don't know if you'd be up for doing this, but you've obviously had a wonderful transition into something new. Wish I could be around horses all the time. That sounds lovely. But
They're pretty awesome. They're cool.
Tell me a little bit about how identity played a role in that transition. When you were leaving something that you must have loved. You were highly successful in your prior career. Was that transition totally smooth?
No, it wasn't. I had moments where, honestly, David, they were probably some of the most difficult in my life, because this is why I mentioned the point unlearning, is because, for example, you know, I was a quote unquote big shot. I, you know, had achieved the highest levels of corporate success on a very large listed company board of directors. Mm-hmm. So I had been in a C-suite, you know, and I had sort of the universal access VIP pass, and it was very cool. I didn't go into my career because I wanted, you know, that prestige or those titles. I went into it because of purpose and impact. But then I was successful, and so then I got to that pinnacle. Well, then when it was time to enter the next chapter of my life, the fancy titles and all those things went away. And it was a shock, honestly, because I was like, wow, I kind of knew that there was a lot of relationships that were transactional, but I hadn't fully prepared for the fact that, you know, I'm no longer invited to go be the keynote speaker here. I'm no longer at the table of this event or that, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of like, intellectually, I had prepared myself for this transition, and I was certainly going to do something that I love with my riding and horses. But honestly, it was like, wow, all of a sudden you think of a very successful career and being a successful person, and there's no external validation anymore at all. It all went away. And that was an important lesson, because you talk about identity and our spiritual relation to God. Where do we get our validation? And I had, unbeknownst to myself, I hadn't really thought about it before the change, I had gotten a lot of comfort from really significant external validation, even though I'm, you know, I'm not a famous person and I had never sought fame in that sense of the word. It was a wake-up call, and there were some pretty challenging moments of all of a sudden feeling alone and feeling like, wow, I'm kind of separated from the herd. I'm no longer doing all these exciting things or invited to do these things anymore. And so that was a really important learning time of going back to basics. And going back to these concepts that we're talking about our spiritual identity, about our relationship with God that is undisturbed. So I had the opportunity then to really dig back in my study and really reaffirm this constancy of my relationship with God that wasn't dependent on a title, a company, a brand, you know, which events I got invited to, all those things. And it was a really important spiritual journey, and honestly, not an easy one for a while. And I'm very happy to say I'm out clear on the other side, where I've found my peace and my joy. The healing for me was going back again to the basics of, I am enough, I am complete, I am wonderful, exactly who I am. And it doesn't matter if anybody knows my name. And so it went back to rediscovering all of a sudden this native childlike joy that we were talking about earlier. First comes the spiritual peace. When we find that spiritual peace, that's actually the healing. And then we see things in our life fall into place, as it were. And so that's the case often in a physical healing, or in my case, you know, a completely different world where now I'm meeting, you know, wonderful people in the horse world, which I would have never come across in the business world. Now I have the breathing space to enjoy the arts and just to, you know, enjoy volunteer service, to do different things and meet new people. And so first came that spiritual peace, really rediscovering that native sense of completeness, and then being open to let go of what was a great chapter before, but being willing and open to then make new friends and have a new chapter with a sense of growth and discovery and abundance.
Yeah. Isn't it funny how sometimes we define ourselves by our past? that, you know, we went to thus and such a school and we did thus and such a job and we were accepted into this kind of,
you know, this and such company and had this title and did that. Exactly.
And
we have to outgrow that.
That's just it. We have a bigger story to participate in. And in a sense, we get a completely different perspective of who we are, truly.
Yes. And that true sense of who we are, I want to introduce another concept which goes along with infinity, is eternal, meaning it is always progressive, always growthful, always unfolding. And that is just so beautiful because, again, we don't come to a point and go, oh, well, that chapter's done, now we're over. It's rather this sense of a continuity of good, a continuity of good that's always fresh, not new in a scary sense. It's new in a beautiful, exciting sense.
Elizabeth Brinton is from Ocala, Florida. Elizabeth, thank you so much for sharing your wonderful stories with us on Sentinel Watch. Really enjoyed them.
Oh, you're welcome, David. It's been a joy. Thanks for having me.
Hey, listen, before we let you go, recently, Deb Packer, a Christian Science practitioner from Canberra, Australia, appeared on Sentinel Watch with host Jenny Sawyer. And after hearing that episode, a listener left us a lovely comment. Alas, they didn't tell us who they were. But that didn't take away from the message, which definitely touched us here, and, well, we wanted to share it with you. The listener wrote, I'm going to quote here, "I can't even express how much I appreciated this interview. It's given me more fresh inspiration and more desire to pray without ceasing, to know God better. I sometimes feel isolated because the nearest Christian Science Church is a bit far away and I don't have a lot of personal contact with its very few members. But as a member of the Mother Church, I feel connected to and supported by my global family. And also, it's wonderful that anyone can listen and learn from these podcasts." What a wonderful message. It meant so much to us, we just had to share it. And I'd imagine you have thoughts about episodes of Sentinel Watch that you might want to share too. Go to sentinel.christianscience.com and scroll down to the bottom of the page, and on the left you'll see a column that says Connect and an oval button that says Contact Us. We made that just for you, and we hope to hear from you real soon. Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm David Brown. The podcast is produced by Carlos Machado, Sophie Ungerleiter, and our executive producer, Amy Richmond. Our production assistant is Natasha Telsho. Our editor is Lisa Rennie-Seitzma. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Ian Case. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo. We'll talk again real soon.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.